Okay, it's an incredible, amazing, very special schus to be here together. So many of you that we've had the schus to learn Torah over the years, many of us never in Eretz Yisrael. In Torah, Ketoros Eretz Yisrael. Halavai, this should be the first of many, many shirim in Eretz Yisrael together, Bez Hashem. And obviously there are a lot of girls at different stages, a lot of young women at different stages in one's life, some that have the schus to be learning here full-time, some have the schus to be living here full-time. Some of us that are back home, I don't want to say visiting, we don't visit home. We visit places, it's not our home. This is our home. Today, I had the schus to be in Chevron earlier today, with a few talmidim, with my son. It was really incredible, it was very, very special. To be by the Avos, to be by the Imos. And there was a man I met over there, we were talking for a moment, and he says, he asked me where I live. I told him that my house is in Cedars, you know, we were just talking, and he says, oh, so you're touring here? I said, no, I mean, this is my home, you don't tour your home. You don't tour Chevron. It's not a tourist site. This is our makom, this is where we're supposed to be. Mirat Hashem. So this will be the first of many, many shirim, as it's only the beginning, Bez Hashem, as we all should be zoicha. Those of us who have plane tickets back should be zoicha never to have to use them. And those that are here, don't have plane tickets back for a while, should be zoicha not to use them. And we'll all be together to learn Torah, we're supposed to all be in Eretz Yisrael. I want to first just start, B'chvei Rechzanya, a very, very special thank you to Daniela and her husband, Yuda Aryeh. Very, very, very dear and close to my heart. To have this shir here is something very, very special, because it was really Daniela that began, that had the foresight and the understanding of the importance of the need to learn Torah and to gain chizik with each other, and really was the one who started our shir, which many of us have had this chus to learn together over the last few years, which started really at first once a month, and then while Daniela was still with us in Chutz Laretz, we already switched to once every 2 weeks. And now more recently, it's become a weekly shir, Baruch Hashem. And for me personally, it's something very, very special. And I want to give tremendous, well, it's chus to be here in her home in Eretz Yisrael. It started in her parents' house. I try not to call places in Chutz Laretz a home. Home is only here. Her parents' house in Woodmere, what started there to continue here is something very, very special. And it should be a big schus for your family, Bez Hashem, for Shmuel Abba, and for only Simcha and Brachna, and only tremendous, tremendous Shefa from the Rabbeinu Shalom. All the learning tonight, and all the chizik and the zoros tonight, is going to be also Lili Nishmas, someone very, very special. I didn't have the schus to know, but just hearing about him for a few moments, I haven't stopped thinking about him, that's the truth. There was a very special man who was Nifter a few days ago. We're still in the middle of Shiva right now. Tamara and Yonina are here with us. And their grandfather, Pinchas ben Nasan Chanoch HaKoyen of Shalom. Pinchas ben Nasan Chanoch HaKoyen. Mirat Hashem, all the learning and all the chizik, all the tzoyeris, should be a big schus for his neshama. You know, I was sitting there together with his daughter, with Yonina, Tamara's mother, and talking to them and hearing about really what a grandfather is supposed to be, what a father is supposed to be. Such beautiful ksharim, such incredible relationships with grandchildren. That's why I haven't stopped thinking about it, because I hope one day, Bez Hashem, I should be zocha to have such relationships with my children and my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And we should all be zocha. Mm-hmm. And Mirat Hashem, all this learning should be a big schus for his neshama. And he should be a big melech yasha for his beautiful, beautiful mishpach until we're zoicha to be again together with him with tzchias ameisim, the gulah shleima b'mehera b'yameinu. So we're here together, mamish noshim tzidkanios, and I don't say that lightly. You are, I mean it. Women who want to learn, women who want to grow, women who want to build batim, houses steeped in Kedusha, in Ruchnius. It's a very big job. It's probably the most important job in the world. Each and every one of you have the single most important job in the world. And whether you go into some form of parnasa as well, whether it's in speech therapy or occupational therapy or whatever other therapy there might be, that's just a job to help support the family. The job that each and every one of you has is the most important job in the world, and that's to be a mother. B'shatov v'slachas, each and every one of you in the right time, and it will be. Bezez Hashem is Baruch. And not just to be a mother, to be the yisod, to be the foundation of your bias, of your home, together with your husband. But you're the ones who are going to be responsible in a certain sense to build that foundation. And again, I don't believe there's any greater responsibility in the world than that. And there's nothing more special in the world than that. So the question is, where should be our focus? Where should be our focus as far as our growth as we prepare for that role? You know, when we're going, many of us at different stages, we go to, there are those that are going to college and then to graduate school to prepare and put in hours upon hours, hours upon hours, years of one's life to prepare for a quote-unquote job, a profession, to earn money. Which also, by the way, can help people as well, obviously, and it's not just a means toward an end, Bez Hashem, Baruch, I don't mean that. But again, your most important job deserves equally enough attention. But we're asked to understand what it is when we're going to build and be the yisod, be the foundation of a bias. So where should my focus be? What does that mean? Shkoyach, we don't know what that is until we experience it, until we're there. So how can we prepare for that? What do we have to do? So I'm going to tell you just what I believe. This is just my own belief based on whatever life I've had the schus to see over the past 39 years and the people that I've had the schus to deal with over the past 39 years of my life. Talmidim, Talmidot, friends, relatives. I'll tell you your biggest role in the world. Your biggest role in the world, and the most important tafkid that you have in this world, is to bring a sense of simchas achayim to your life and to your bias. To bring simcha, to bring happiness, to bring joy. Because if you're going to bring true simcha, everything else will be there. Everything else you'll have, everything else that's in your dreams and your aspirations, which we all have many. If you have simcha, you have it all. Because if you stop and you think for one moment, everything else we only want is only to bring us simcha. So if we cut to the chase and cut that all out and just go right to the nekuda, right to what it's all about, the pinnacle, which is simcha. Happiness. Now true happiness, true simcha. True simcha is not just, you know, jumping around and having a good time. And it's not just a physical pleasure or having a good meal or whatever else that might be. I had the schus to learn a very, very beautiful Torah. You know, yesterday I was sitting in a base medrash of Itramaya Morgenstern, this big tzaddik. I was to talk to him for a few moments. And I was sitting there and I said, I don't know right now. I mean, I hope I will, but I don't know if we're not Zoichem Mashiach and I'm going to have to get on a flight Sunday night. I'm not sure if I'll be back in Eretz Yisrael before Purim, before the Heilige Yontif of Purim. So I said, I want to do some achana, some preparation now. I'm in Eretz Yisrael for Purim. So I sat and I learned a little bit about Purim. Already now, I know it sounds a little bit strange to some of you, maybe especially this year we have two Adars. But I said, I want to already prepare for Purim. It's never too early to prepare for Purim. So I had this sefer with me. It happens to be a sefer that Yehuda Aryeh Meizel, the Baal Bayis of this house, bought me this sefer, the set of Svarim, years ago. And I had it with me. And I learned it. He brought down the famous pasuk that we all know, Laihu Temaisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Ikar, right? The most famous pasuk in the whole Megillah. Laihu Temaisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Ikar. And he asked the following question, Rav Leibel Eger, the Baal HaMechaber, Rav Leibel Eger, the Goyin HaTzadik. So Rav Leibel asks, what's the chiddush that the Jews, after the Nes of Purim, what's the chiddush that the Yidden, after the Geula of Purim, were besimcha? Do we really have to even mention that? Like, if, God forbid, chas v'shalom, there was a threat to one's life, like serious threat to one's life, and here was the annihilation of the entire Kol Yisrael, and then there would be a redemption, and you'd be saved. I have to tell you I'll be b'simcha? Who wouldn't be b'simcha? So he says, if you look closely, it's not like Yehudim ha'isa simcha, like Yehudim ha'isa oira v'simcha. Oira represents Torah and Ruchnias, ki ner mitzvah b'Torah ar. The light of our life is Ruchnias, is Torah, is a connection to Hashem. He says the Chiddush was, it wasn't just stam, a joy because I was saved. It was a Kedushas tikka simcha. It was a Ruchnias tikka simcha. It was a deep connection to the Rabbeinu Shem that brings the deepest of simcha. Real simcha. Consistent simcha. That's the type of simcha I'm talking about. That's the type of simcha that Halavai Bez Hashem Yisbarach, each and every one of you should have in your life. And we need to start working on this now. If then we're going to give that over to our children, and we're going to give that over to our husbands, who might need that chizik at times. B'shatayv at the right time, Bez Hashem. There's nothing more important. I think I shared this story once before with some of you. Just looking around the room at different women at different ages in their life and all wanting one thing. I mean, unbelievable. Baruch Hashem. But that a few years ago, I was here, it was two summers ago, if I'm not mistaken, I was here with my family over the summer, and I would go late, you know, we'd have all day long, we'd be involved in family activities, beautiful, just being there to Yisrael. And at the end of the day, I'd go every night with my son to the Kaisel Ma'aravi, Davin Ma'ariv, and to just talk and learn a little Davin. And the first night I go there, and after we daven, we talk, I said, okay, Shmuel, go daven a little bit by the Kaisel. I'm going to go daven by the Kaisel. It's our first night in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe it was the second. It was the first night we went together, late for sure. And I go, and I'm starting to daven. And I turn, I see he davens for like, a minute, 2 minutes, and he's finished. And I daven a few more minutes, whatever it was, and then I go to him afterwards, and tried in a loving way, I don't believe, it wasn't in a judgmental way. I said, Shmuel, like, what's up? Kaisel Ma'aravi, all you got to daven for is 1 minute. Really? And he says to me, looks at me, says, Tati, I realized something a while ago. All that matters in life, all that I need in life, is to be b'simcha. Of course, I want health, and parnasa, and friendships. But really, what is that all about? To be b'simcha. So all I have to daven for is to be b'simcha. And I know if I'm going to be b'simcha, I'm going to have everything else. It's all going to be good. So I only took to daven for simcha. It took me 1-2 minutes. And that's what each and one of your houses is going to need one day. True simcha z'chaim. You know how your children, b'shatayv, in the right time, are going to be productive and are going to grow and are going to be close to Torah and close to Hashem and be stable, which is a chiddush in this day and age. If they have simcha z'chaim. And they're going to get it more than anyone else from you. More than anyone else from their mothers. Shema b'ni musar avicha v'altitosh Torah simecha. It's a much stronger language, right? Shema b'ni musar avicha. Listen to the musar of your father. Just listen. Your father, he's out all day, comes home late at night, he throws in his word. You gotta listen. V'altitosh Torah simecha. Don't forsake the Torah of your mother. We'll explain later exactly what that Torah is. But that Torah is simcha z'chaim. Do not forsake that. You need that. You can't be without that. When you have a mother that's full of simcha, you know what type of child I'm going to be? You know what type of children you're going to have? You know what type of bias it's going to be? It's given over. You cannot be besimcha in the presence. It's contagious. And when I'm besimcha, I want to do everything that's right. When I'm besimcha, I want to be successful. I want to be productive. So here's the question. How do we find consistent simcha? Constant simcha. How could I be fully besimcha so that one day I could give over that simcha z'chaim to my children, to my house? So you open up this week's parasha, and we have the shira. We have the song that we sing every single day, the shira by Kriyas Yamsuf of Klal Yisrael. And everybody talks about it. It starts with the words, Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir. Then we will sing. I mean, Oz Yashir, then we will sing. B'nai Yisrael sing. What's the Oz? Why Oz Yashir? Additionally, in our tefillas, we say that this song was a Shira Chadasha, right? We daven Shira Chadasha, Shibuchu Gulim, Shimcha Svasayam. Svasayam, that's this song we're talking about. It's a Shira Chadasha. It's a new song. What's the new song? Why is it a new song? What's new about this song? And why us, Yashir? So I want to share with you with the Torah, Mehilge Tzadik, or Simcha Zissel Brady. He was a yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva. He happened to be my Rebbe, Rav Lachman's Chavrusa, for 10 years. A walking Tzadik, a walking Talmud Chacham. He has a son who actually lives in Farakway, Rav Moshe Brody, Tzadik. So the Pasuk says in the Shira, it says, Toymos Yichas Yumu Yardu Mipsolos Komo Evin. Talking about the Mitzrim, that the Mitzrim descended to the floor, they drowned in the Yamsuf like a stone. But Rashi there points out, if you read throughout the whole storyline, Ubamakum Acher Tzolu Ko'oferes, elsewhere it says, in a different pasuk, that they drowned like Ko'oferes, like lead. Ubamakum Acher Yechleimu Kakash, in another place, they drowned like straw. What's going on? Mamish, in the same parasha, they drowned like stone, like straw, like lead. Which one is it? So comes along Rashi. And Rashi tells us, very famous Rashi, Harishoyim Kakash. Holchin Umitarfin Olim V'yardim. The biggest wicked, most wicked Egyptians, they drown like straw. Very slow. Painful, because it's very light, right? Painful death. They deserved much pain and suffering. Beinanim, the mediocre Mitzrim. Kevin, like a stone, much quicker. A much quicker, more peaceful death. And Vaksherim, which means the best of the worst. They still deserve death. But they were the best of the worst, Mitzrim. Ko'ofera shenochu miyad. Like lead, immediate death. No pain. That's what Rashi tells us, the Pesukim are teaching us. But why is that so important for us to know? Why do we need to know how the Mitzrim drowned? That some like Kash, some like Evan, some like lead. Why is that important to Klal Yisrael? So Simcha Zissel Brady or Shiva Chevron explained so beautifully. Listen closely. He said that it wasn't just us now when we learn Rashi that are becoming aware of this. Klal Yisrael, they went and they passed through the Yamsuf and they got to the other side and they were able to look back and they watched the Mitzrim who were their slave masters for 210 years. And they watched these Mitzrim and they saw, wait a minute, look at that. The ones who are like the biggest Rishayim, their mamish suffering painful deaths. The ones who are, okay. They went pretty quickly. And the guys who once in a while snuck them some extra food, straight to their death, very peaceful. And they said to themselves, wait a minute, look at this. You know, like we said by Purim, it's very, very easy to be besimcha when you have a geula. It's very, very easy to be happy when things are going well. It's very easy to be happy at a chasana and at a bris milah and when good things are happening in your life. It's very easy to be happy when you get engaged that night. That's very, very easy. That's a given. It's no chiddush. The chiddush is who is besimcha always. The chiddush is to be content and to have a certain joy and happiness. It doesn't mean I'm dancing around, but it means I'm always good. No matter what. Even when I go through Nisoyon, even when I go through a test, even through the Avdus, through the slavery, through the Nisoyon that Hashem sends each and every one of us, I'm still okay, I'm still besimcha, because kol ma'adav rechaman al-tav of it, everything Hashem does is good. How can you have that type of simcha? So the Yidin here, listen closely, the Yidin here, they look back and they saw how the Mitzrim were all being punished, midah keneged midah. They were all being punished, midah keneged midah. And they realized, wait a minute, you know, God, that we thought and we started to think was completely absent for the last 210 years, leaving us to be slaves and to sink to the lowest of low. That God that I don't know where He is when there's something that I deeply, deeply want in my life and I want it for the right reasons, it's just not happening yet for whatever reason. We all have this in our life. Or that Rabbeinu Shalom that brought a tragedy, a Nisayon, Yisurin, that seems so difficult and so bleak. You know what the Mitzrim saw? They saw, you know what? No, he was there the whole time. He was keeping count. He's now
paying the Mitrim back, Mida Kenegmida, for all they did during those years, meaning he was watching the whole time. He was there by our side. Now we might still not understand why. We might still not be able to understand and answer why this is happening and why I need to go through this and why this tragedy and why this nisayon. When others seem to have it good. Seem is the key word there, by the way. Others seem to have it good. Nobody knows each other's lives and the depth and everything that's going on behind closed doors. And that's very important itself. But I might never know the why in certain situations. I might never know the why. But you know what I do know? Hashem is by our side and He's there and He's watching us and He cares about us. And the Yidden by Kriyas Yamsuf, they recognize that and realize that. Rav Simcha Zisel Brody says, that's the Shira Chadasha. That's this new song. This new song of Simcha, but not just the Simcha of the Geula, of the redemption like most think. It was a much deeper joy, a much deeper song. It was a song of recognition, not just of the Simcha now, but the Simcha that the Rabbanu Shalom was with us the entire time. And that's the greatest of songs. You know, Shira, song, is like such an unbelievable representation of our neshama. As the Gra, the Vilna Gaon says, song is the language of the soul. And that's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. And one type of song, sometimes one is down and out and sad, and song can help revitalize us because it talks to our neshama. But that's not the deepest of songs. The deepest of songs is when it's an outflow of your hagashas halev, of your emotional heart that feels so happy and so besimcha that you can't not sing. Imagine like having a chasana without song. You couldn't, because we're so besimcha, we just have to be singing. We have to be dancing. A Shira Chadasha is a song that I'm singing always. I'm singing that song because I'm always recognizing that it's all good. That's Oz Yashir. Only then they sang. Only then, after this recognition, not just because of the Gula, which anybody would sing. And that's the highest level of Simcha. And that's the Simcha each and every one of us needs to really deeply internalize into our lives, so that we could give that over to our homes, to our children. And if I don't have to even go there, who doesn't want to live such a life? And you all can. We all can. We all can just open up our eyes and build that understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our life always. It doesn't mean, by the way, it doesn't mean that there won't be times that I'm going to cry and be sad. It's okay. And you're supposed to cry when you lose the loved one. You miss the person. And you could miss them. You're allowed to miss a person. And you're allowed to be sad when you see someone suffering and they're sick. And you're allowed to be sad when there's a nisayon going on in your life that isn't so easy and it's hard. But those tears have to be and should be and can be coupled with a certain sense of being content, because I know, you know what? The Ribbono Shel Olam is by my side. And I'm still singing. I'm still singing through it all. And that's how you see and you have individuals in this world. You have individuals that can go through the same exact nisayon, the same exact difficulty, the same exact one. And one of them with the biggest smile on their face constantly, Tamid Bisimcha, and one of them is depressed as could be, needing to go to therapy 3 times a week. Mamish, same person, same situation. But one of them is living with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And one of them has this feeling of being content and understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam is by my side, and therefore it's all good. And just a matter of when. And I might never exactly see why this is happening. But I know it. And there's no better place to understand this, and to I don't know if I could give this shir in the same way in Chutz La'aretz. Because we all know it. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, when you're Shalayim Eretz Kodesh, as we are right now, We could feel this. We could sense it. And that's when you could internalize it. Now, while you're here. And know this is true always. Because otherwise, again, we could have mamish two people taking one situation, complete opposite ends of the world. You had, you know, in Parshas Bo, you had Makos Choshech, darkness. Darkness. So we all know by every one of the Makos were for the Mitzrim, and not for the Yidden. So for the Yidden, there was Arba Mosh Vosom, there was light in their dwelling places, right? You ever think about it? Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? So by Dam, we could understand at least, again, it's a unbelievable miracle, but I could understand that you have, if you pour water, for a Mitzri it was blood, for a Yid it was water. It's a miracle, but it's water. Even from the same koi, so you split it in half, okay, shkoyach. I mean, it's a tremendous miracle, but we could at least understand what it means. What would it mean right now to some of us in this room, it's light and some of us is dark? You can't have it both ways. Either it's light or it's dark. So what does that mean? The Yidden had X-ray vision? Possibility. The Mitzrim were blinded, but was it really light? Was it really dark? Like, what was going on? The Helig Degel Machan Ephraim, one of the Helig Talmidim and the Baal Shem HaKadosh, he explains, and others say this as well, that you know what Choshech was? There's something called, we've learned before about it, some of us maybe remember, the Or HaGanez. The Or HaGanez is like the most spiritual light in the world that was put it into hiding 36 hours after it was created in the world because the world couldn't handle it. It's like this unbelievable spiritual light that only those who are big tzaddikim, who are righteous and could connect to it, could handle it. Otherwise, it's suffocating, it's paralyzing. The Or HaGanez. You know, it's like if you stare at the sun long enough, right, you're going to go blinded from it. You can't handle it. So when the Or HaGanez was brought back into the world by Choshech, so to the Mitzrim it was blinding. They couldn't handle it. It was darkness. It literally caused them to be stuck in place. It was so strong. But the Yidden are b'mosh v'osam. Those Yidden that connect, it was light. So you had the same exact circumstance. What are we saying? Listen to this. You had the same exact circumstance. To some was this beautiful light, and to some was the deepest darkness. And that's true in the world that we know it. We have to live with the Eibishter. We have to live with the Eibishter in our world always. We have some, there are people who can't stand Torah, can't stand Ruchnius, and people who love it. So obviously it's one's mentality that has a change in how one perceives and connects to situations in this world. You know, there's a famous story. There's a very famous story. The Helig Noyim Elimelech, Rav Melech Melejensk. Rav Melech Melejensk, one of the big Talmid in the Baal Shem Tov. So one time he was in jail. He was thrown in jail for something. And he was in jail. And in jail, even when he was in jail, so most people in jail are very sad and depressed and down and out, they're stuck in jail, they're not with their family. And he would obviously daven in jail. And every time he put on tefillin and he got ready to daven, he would mamish start like it was if he wasn't in jail. Dancing and singing and the warden and the different people in charge of the jail, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it that here you have this Jew in jail that's so besimcha and dancing around the room. They just couldn't handle it. So they spoke to people, they figured out what could they do. Somehow they figured out the halach, whatever it was. You know what they did? In his room, they put the chvesnish like a... And I say it any other way, but they put like a toilet in the room. They put like a toilet in the room that was full of disgustingness. Where halachically, you can't put on tefillin there, this. Halachically, you can't daven there, this. And they took away his ability to daven, his ability to put on tefillin, his ability to be close to Hashem, even in those darkest of places. So what happens? First, Namil Melech started to think, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Now I can't daven. And now I can't put on tefillin. And now I can't be close to Hashem. And then he started to think, how could I think like this? How could I think like this? You think these, this warden and these Rishayim put the toilet there? The Eibishter put the toilet there. The Eibishter put the toilet there. So the same Eibishter, the same Eibishter, the same exact one that wants me to daven and put on tefillin every day and be besimcha about that for whatever reason, which I don't understand why, he wants me to not be davening now. He wants me to not be putting on tefillin now. Because that's obviously that's what the Eibishter wants. Otherwise this wouldn't happen. And he immediately starts to dance and sing in his cell. Mamish dancing around the toilet. No, Mamish dancing around the toilet. The Noam HaMelech dancing around the toilet. The warden, the Rishon, they're outside, they see this. They think, Mamish is Yid. At first they thought he's crazy, he's dancing and singing. But then they chopped a little, so they twit the toilet. Now that he's this guy's out of his mind. So what do they obviously do? He's dancing and singing, it must be because of the toilet. They take the toilet out, he's able to daven again. Mamish. Mamish, what happened? But Chevra, you understand. You understand, it's a story, but it's not a story, it's life. If we could have such perspective and realize everything's Ratzon Hashem, everything's Ratzon Hashem. We get so confused. Some days maybe you have a lot of responsibility. You have a lot of responsibility, whether some of you are in college now, in graduate school, and work, and some of you are helping out with families. Some in the room have babies they're taking care of. You have so much responsibility. You have so much responsibility. And you don't have time that day to daven well. Okay, you chop 10 minutes, so I make sure not to go the day without davening. Everybody should daven, even as women, at least, preferably if you can, twice a day, obviously. But at the very least, once a day. I'm not going to go, there's not a halachic shir for now, maybe another time, right? But at least once a day. Ma'ariv is not so pasha to take upon yourself. Once in a while, it's a good thing to do if you want to have an extra tefillah. You don't want to take that as a neder necessarily, being that you don't have a chiyav. But l'maisa, anyways. So there are days where that's why. And then you start to get down and out and say, oh, look, it's a terrible day. I didn't get to daven today. I only davened quickly. I said, I said brachos in the morning, then I davened Ashrei Shmoneh Esrei by Mincha time. That was my whole day. Now I want to be someone who davens. I want to be someone who has an hour a day to daven in a nice shachar. I want to be terrible. It's not terrible. It's wonderful. That's what the Ratzon Hashem was on that day. The Ratzon Hashem was that day, you should only have 10 minutes to daven. So make the best of those 10 minutes. That was Ratzon Hashem. That's what the Eibishter wanted from you. If we stop and think, and we start thinking like this, everything, whatever's going on in my life, it's Ratzon Hashem. Now we have to do the best with it. We have to put in our ishtadlus to serve Hashem to the best of our ability, but ultimately it's all Ratzon Hashem. And live with Hashem always through the wonderful times and through what we perceive as difficult times. And then we have a Shir Chadashah. I'm singing always. I don't stop singing. So beautiful. You know, Eretz Yisrael Yishlaim, this morning I'm walking through the old city. I'm supposed to stay in the old city. I don't know. When I'm here. And I was in the old city and I'm walking back. I davened this morning in the Ramban Shul. And I'm walking back to the apartment where I'm staying. And I see this Yid. And this Yid was like in jeans and a sweatshirt to get a picture, but with like, since he's hanging out, a baseball cap, and he's holding his phone, and it's blasting very loud. I don't know how he had such a speaker from his phone. I don't know what phone it was, but very loud. And he's singing together with it. The Chevra knows Omar Adam. He has that Modani, right? We all know it. Modani. Modani. Omar Adam just made a big Kiddush Hashem, apparently. He just, this Yid, who he was just asked to, like, maybe represent Israel, some big thing, and some European singing, like, some massive concert or contest something. And he found out, like, I think the auditions for it, or part of it was on Shabbos. So I'm not going. I'm not going, nothing. Forget it. Baruch Hashem. But anyways, so he has this beautiful song, Modani, all about what? Giving thanks to the Eibishter, which are the first words we wake up every single morning with. And I watch this Yid is walking through the streets of the old city, blasting and singing together, like much louder than even the music, this Yid singing, with no care in the world but to thank the Rabbi Nishalom. But just to thank the Rabbanu Shalom. If we started to thank the Rabbanu Shalom more, when we wake up in the morning, we say Modani, do we think about the words? First thing in the day, Modani Avinachem El Chayev Hakem Shechazar Tavi Nishmati, Rabbanu Shalom, you gave me another day in this world. Thank you. Start thanking Hashem a little bit more, not just during Modim, when I'm davening, But throughout the day, something small, something happens to me. Thank you so much, Hashem. Like, we also had Spizen once upon a time. I happen to love that because I think it's such chizik. I don't know if you remember, if everybody saw Spizen. If you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. Such chizik. Because in Spizen, you see the characters in Spizen were throughout the whole entire movie, whatever's going on in life, immediately, what do? They just look up and talk to the Rabbi Nishol. They're one, they're living with God. And if we start to live with the Rabbi Nishol always and talk to him throughout the day, say thank you, Hashem, throughout the day, we'll start to feel him in my life always a lot more. That's the Eitzah. To say thank you, Hashem. And say, you don't have to, you can say it in Hebrew, you can say it in English. Thank you, Hashem. Yeah, well, recently, a lot of people are coming out with new songs, thank you, Hashem. Different thank you, Hashem songs. It's beautiful. Thank you, Hashem. You're running to catch a bus, and you're trying to get to a shir, and then, you know, and you made it. So, yeah, Baruch Hashem, I made it for this year. No, do you stop there? Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Every little thing, thank you, Hashem. And we start to think like that, you'll see, you'll start to feel Hashem in your life more. And then when things are not going great, which they might not, you'll be able to say, oh, das ist Ratzon Hashem. I'm good. It's not that I want it to be. You still have to put ishtazit that it shouldn't be. I don't mean that. You don't have to live with it and do whatever you can, but I'm good. I'm okay. This is Ratzon Hashem. And that's throughout the day. But even more so when we're mechuyev, when we say our brachas. We say our brachas. I'm not going to make now. I made a bracha already. You have some seltzer, you have water, you have, you're eating some chips, you're eating a meal, you make brachas, we make brachas. How many of us make brachas properly? How often? If we decided to start saying brachas slowly and just thinking about the words, what they mean, Baruch Atah Hashem, which means you are the source of all blessing, Hashem, as manifested in this, and you recognize and realize, Hashem, you're my life now. You're with me. You know what type of... I will be a much happier person. It's that simple. Why are people unhappy in life? You know why people are unhappy in life? Because we take everything for granted that everything's supposed to be perfect for us. So when things don't go well, I can't handle it. But if we start to focus on all the good and realize all the good that was going on in our life constantly, and then, so throughout the day, I'll see that 90% of my life is good and great. So a little thing happens not, but I just thanked Hashem 90 times today. I'm going to get upset about the one thing not? I'm going to be upset, right? Doesn't make any sense. We have to be more thankful. We have to pay attention in our davening. I was by, you should know, I mean, I'm Amish, I don't know if I should repeat this publicly, but no, because I don't know if he said he did it. I just came from a Heilige Tzaddik, the Shvili Pinchas. Philip Pinchas, Rav Pinchas Friedman. I don't know how many of you know who that is, but trust me, you've learned a ton of Torah from him in your life, because if we've had this chus to learn together, I've shared Torah with you from him, trust me. He's one of my Rebbeim, I feel as close as could be with. He's a Goyen, he's a Tzaddik, he's a Belzer Dayan. He's written, I don't know how many, 20 Svarim already. Most normal person in the world as well. Like, gets it, he's incredible. So I took a few Talmidim to him. We spent about an hour with him before. It was really incredible. And my son, he loves my son already, Baruch Hashem. So special. So he was talking, we were talking about different inyanim. And he started talking about making brachas. And he said in his family, sometimes I make a bracha. He said, just like a bzzz. He says, when he hears people in his family make a bracha, he says, and he sees them start eating, he says, no, make a bracha. He says, no, you didn't make a bracha yet. Make a bracha. He says, I made a bracha. Okay, wasn't the right bracha. Everything with him is Ava and Simcha, trust me. Not in a difficult way, but you could make a new bracha. That wasn't a new bracha. Imamish tells us, not a bracha. It's not even a bracha. It's nothing. If we started saying our bracha slowly and thinking about the words, what they mean, and start thinking about Hashem throughout our day, it's all good, and we could live like that. If you don't have Hashem in your life, you can't even understand what I'm talking about. I'll give you a story. This happened a few years ago. It happened a few years ago. It was probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, January, right now. No, I'll tell you why I remember. So right before I came to, I've had this chus for, I don't know how many, many, many January straight, 15, 20 years straight. over 20 years to be in Eretz Yisrael every single January, and it's chus to come to see my Talmidim, not to my Heilige Talmidot. And to those who are learning here, I'm sorry, my week's crazy, but hopefully we'll find a few minutes still. I'm still here to Sunday night. So those are with us back home. I can't believe I just said that. Slip. Sorry. Back in Chutz Laretz. We have time, and everyone knows they could be in touch 24/7. And please, those who are here, hopefully we'll try to chop a few minutes, and hopefully we won't have to leave. But anyways, L'maisa. So I've had this chus to be here and spend time and try to give words of chizik v'kem, but really just be mechazik myself and nachas. And for a bunch of years straight, for some reason, this year, Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen. Like, right before this trip, I'd get, like, sick. Not terribly, but, like, a terrible cough. I don't know if I remember last year, I had a cough for, like, 6 months. I don't know. These things happen to me. I don't know. Okay. But then, like strep-type stuff, whatever it is. Always, like, right before. And I have a friend who's a big doctor, Talmud's father, so I always like running to his house to like just prescribe him medication just in case. And he's like, it's not the right way to do it. I'm like, okay, but I need it. And you know how it goes. Anyways, L'maisa. So 1 year, it was like I was leaving on Sunday, and Shabbos, I started getting sick. And this individual wasn't around, whatever it was. So I run over Matze Shabbos to like one of the urgent care mekoymis, right? This was years ago, right when one of them, I don't want to say even which one of them that just opened up like a few months before. And I run to that urgent care that was over. Open. And I start complaining about my throat and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, it was a crazy situation. They decided they have to do an EKG on me. I have no idea why. It was like nuts. They started, what was going down there? I've never gone back to that place, okay? I'm not going back to that place. And I remember what year it was, because I remember telling this story when I got there at Thrall the next day. It might have been the last time I told this story. And afterwards, one of the Talmidim that was in the shir that I was giving came over to me. He's like, you know, my father owns that place. And I'm like bashing the place, the servants. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's all good. Hopefully they learn from it. Anyways, L'maisa. So the doctor's in the room. And the doctor at one point says, tell me, like, how are you doing? How you, I understand what your symptoms are, but how are you feeling? I said, I'm doing great. So he looks at me, I don't understand, what do you mean you're doing great? You just told me that you have your whole throat is phlegmed up and you're coughing and you're this, you know, what do you mean you do great? No, I'm doing great, life's great. So he said, how can you be, like, I you wouldn't get it. You just wouldn't get it. That's what I said, you just wouldn't get it. Because how could you explain to an individual who doesn't understand Eibishter and Amunah and what we understand, and doesn't understand Shira Chadasha, Shibchu Golim, doesn't understand what it is to live with the Ribbono Shel Olam every moment, that even when you're suffering maybe, but you're great. But you're great. And we could all have it. We have to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into our mundane as well, into the regular days, into everything. That's also Oz Yashir. Then we'll think, oh, this is Aleph Zion. Aleph is one, Hashem Echad. And Zion is the 7 days of the week, the mundane, regular nature, Teva. We have to always connect the Aleph to the Zion. In every single moment of our lives, we have to connect to the Aleph. That's the Oz. Oz Yashir. Then we're singing always, every single moment. Not just as I'm crossing through the Yam Suf, because it's so clear. Always. And we say in the Shira, Holchu Bayabasha B'Soy Chayam. Holchu Bayabasha, Pashup Shat, they walked in the dry land amongst the water, right? The water was dried up on the side of them, or split on the side of them. They were on the Bayabasha, in the dry land. And we said a story from the Noam El-Melech. Cannot share a Torah from the Hilgen Noam El-Melech. Noam El-Melech says, what Pshat Holchu Bayabasha B'Soy Chayam? So when we're going by Yabasha, when you're walking through the sea with the water split on both sides, it's like the craziest revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, not right? At that moment, you had to have the most ultimate Amunah. Nobody could not be singing at that moment. That's clear. That's Shira's Pashit. When you're by Yabasha. Besochayam. When you're in that dry land amongst the water. He says, that's not how you read the Pasuk. As we know, even a Shivcha Bayam, even a maidservant had Nevuah, prophecy on the highest of levels. He says, the word is, Holchu Bayabasha, when you go on the dry land, when you're finished walking through the water, when things are not so clear, when you're holchu bayabasha, when you're having doubts, when you're going through nisyonos, when you have tragedies that hit, holchu bayabasha, it should be kimo besochayam. It should be like I'm still in the water. That's how deep the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with us. A constant connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then we're always singing. I'm never going to stop singing. Because I'm with Hashem always. And whatever's going down is just Ratzon Hashem. And we have to believe that, and we have to know that. And we have to live with that. And that's why we're all here. We're all here because of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Maybe some of you are. It's beautiful, and there's definitely a truth to that. But most of us, I think, are here because we want that closeness to Hashem. We want to feel that in our life. And I want to feel it always. Not just in the good times, not just when it's easy. I want it consistently. I want it to be a Shira Chadasha. I want to be singing that deepest song for my neshama, no matter what, no matter what's going on. And then I could deal with anything that Hashem throws my way. And then I could infuse this into my bias one day. And then I could have a bias where there's simcha every day, where my children will come home from yeshiva, from Beis Yaakov, from school, whatever, wherever they are, they're going to come home and you're going to be with the biggest smile, no matter what happened to you that day, no matter what's going on, and just have a house that's full of simcha. House that's full of simcha, and give over to them that simcha, that they should always be with simcha. And even if they don't do well on a test, shkoyach, you didn't do well on a test. Be with simcha. Always. Why? Because their bonus shalom's by your side. It's good. We live with Hashem. We could always be b'simcha. It's the only way to always be b'simcha. There's no other answer. It's the emunah that's going to determine our level of simcha zachayim. And the more we think about that and instill that and want that, and you have to want it, and then start, what we gave, living those practical etzes of saying the moda'ani. Of saying the moda'ani. Of having kavan in our brachos. Of recognizing Hashem in my life always. I'm going to be walking around like a different person, no matter what is going on in my life. I want to end just reading you something. I think I read this once before at a shira this year. So for some of this is chazara, but it's well worth chazara. And I definitely never read it in Eretz Yisrael yet. And the emes is, I think this is what it's all about, and this is what we're all saying. And I think there's nothing more important for you to hear in your life than this. Everyone, maybe we'll send that, those that are on the WhatsApp chat, we'll send out a picture of this afterwards, because you have to have this, and you have to frame it and put it on your wall, and live this. Because we said earlier, Shema b'ni masar avicha, v'al titash Torah simecha, that your job is to give over Torah simecha, which we're saying now is that simcha zachayim, that overall feeling. It's not necessarily just the chinuch of teaching about, teaching your kid how to do netil sedayim, and how to bench, and how to dress sanua, and how to... No. All those things will come also. Those are, I don't mean they're not important. But it's much bigger than that. It's a hargashas alev of simcha zachayim that will be connected to all of our avodas Hashem. That's Torah simecha. So listen close to these words from the Rav, from Rav Soloveitchik. He says, what is Torah simecha? What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? I admit that I'm not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. Only by circumscription, I hope to be able to explain it. Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to have long conversations with my mother. In fact, it was a monologue rather than a dialogue. She talked, and I happened to overhear. What did she talk about? I must use an halachic term in order to answer the question. She talked in Yoni Diyoma. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of a holiday. I used to see her recite prayers. I used to watch her recite the Sedra every Friday night. And I still remember the nostalgic tune I learned from her very much. Most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me that there's a flavor, a scent, and warmth to mitzvahs. I learned from her the most important thing in life. To feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. To feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. Without her teachings, which quite often were transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. The laws of Shabbat, for example, were passed on to me by my father. They are part of Musar Avicha. The Shabbos as a living entity, as a queen, was revealed to me by my mother. It is part of Torah Simecha. The father knew much about the Shabbos. The mother lived the Shabbos, experienced her presence, and perceived her beauty and splendor. The fathers taught generations how to observe Shabbos. Mothers taught generations how to greet the Shabbos and how to enjoy her 24-hour presence. That's your greatest job in the world, to be that person. And that's a person who has Simchas HaChaim always. And that Simchas HaChaim is felt in every fiber of the being, in every act, in Shabbos, in Tefillah, in Tznius. It's not just something we do, it's something we love. It's something I'm, because my whole life is Simcha and I'm connecting to Hashem. As he said, the main, that line, to feel the presence of Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders, that amuna that brings Simchas HaChaim. This is Rav Soloveitchik speaking. This is the Rav who's known for his intellectual capacity and known for his tremendous chachma and his tremendous ability to give over Torah and the shiurim and listen to what he says about his mother and listen to the emotions of it. That's who you will be. That's who you need to be. That's who you can be. But it has to start now. And each and every one of us should be Zocha to build this level of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Shira Chadasha, a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam that's so strong. It's such a strong, beautiful relationship, a relationship to a father, to a son, a father, to a daughter, that can't be broken. It can't be broken. He's my Tati in Himmel. He would ever do anything that's not in my best interest? He's my Tati in Himmel. This has to be Ratzon Hashem. I just don't understand why. Shkoyach, neither does a 2-year-old understand why they can't run in the street after the ball. But it doesn't mean it's not right. Just because we don't understand. And it might make us sad at times. But that sad is connected to tremendous simcha at the same time. Because I'm with Hashem. We have the schus to be here in Yishlaim HaKadosh, to develop this relationship with Hashem, to be one with Hashem, to have this Simchas HaChaim. I want to give each and every, I have the schus to be a Kayin. One of my greatest pleasures being here in Eretz Yisrael is being able to duchen every single morning. Every single morning I have the schus to duchen, which I don't have in Chutz L'Eretz. Every time I come to Eretz Yisrael, the first day I duchen, mamash, I have tears streaming down my cheeks. I don't know what I'm doing in Chutz L'Eretz. I mean, I do know what I'm doing in Chutz L'Eretz. I really deeply believe that's where the Rebbe wants me personally to be because of what my tafkid is, I believe. Although that's hard at times to accept because I would love to be here so deeply. But I come here, I get to the schus to give bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever even brought me into this world as a kain. So I want to give each and every one of you a bracha. Yisameich alhim kisarev karach aleya. Yivrecha adnai shmerecha. Yar adnai panav velecha vichuneka. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. Yivizoyche to always feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu by your side, and therefore vizoyche to always have Simchas HaChaim every single moment of your life.